It was 10 years ago that a devastating water crisis began in the city of Flint, Michigan.
A public health emergency is in effect in Flint, Michigan, after dangerously high levels of lead were found in the drinking water.
2 weeks ago, Flint's mayor declared a state of emergency after a study found the proportion of children under five in Flint with elevated lead levels in their blood nearly doubled following the switch.
Its water was tainted with lead, threatening tens of thousands of people. And suddenly, the spotlight swung onto Michigan and onto the quality of the whole nation's drinking water. Today, we're looking at what's happened, what's changed, and how people are thinking about the crisis 10 years later. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Later in the pod, we're going to hear from the current mayor of Flint, Sheldon Neely. But before that, we wanted to share a snapshot of Flint today and the reality that while a lot has changed, many residents don't feel entirely safe. As Michigan Public's Steve Carmody reports, the question in Flint remains, is the city's tap water safe to drink? Steve will take it away from here.
On April 25th, 2014, then-Flint Mayor Dane Walling pressed the button symbolically switching the city's drinking water source to the Flint River. He then toasted the switch with plastic glasses filled with tap water.
Here's to Flint.
Here's to Flint.
Here's.
I have a great deal of shame and regret about that ceremony because of everything that came after.
That's Dane Walling today. When he talks about everything that came after, Walling's referring to Flint's drinking water crisis, improperly treated river water, damaged pipes, releasing lead into the water, and making the city's drinking water undrinkable. Not surprisingly, Walling was voted out of office a year after the switch. The decision to switch was made by a state emergency manager. The intent of the water switch was to save money and fix the city's multi-million-dollar budget deficit. The result was hundreds of millions of dollars spent to fix the water system and help the community heal. Former Mayor Walling blames the water crisis on the man who placed Flint under emergency management, former Governor Rick Snyder.
The buck on all these decisions stopped with Governor Snyder. Critical decisions made it to his desk, and it was a disastrous era of leadership in this state.
Governor Snyder was among more than a dozen government officials criminally charged in connection with the water crisis. Some officials were even charged with multiple counts of involuntary manslaughter. But problems with two separate state investigations eventually led to all the charges being dropped. A spokeswoman for former Governor Snyder said he is not doing interviews on Flint water. While the criminal case has fallen apart, there has been success for Flint residents in civil courts. In 2021, the state of Michigan, city of Flint, and some businesses agreed to settle tens of thousands of claims brought by Flint residents. The settlement pot has grown to more than $650 million. But the process of determining who's eligible for a share of the settlement has dragged on much longer than expected. Ted Leopold is the settlement's co-lead plaintiff's counsel.
There were some hiccups. I think it's fair to say that the scope and breadth of the claims process was greater than I think everybody expected.
Ted Leopold hopes the first checks will go out by the end of this year. In a court filing this month, Deborah Greenspan, the court-appointed special master to oversee the review process, wrote that she hopes the initial phase of the review process will be complete by the end of June, but the appeals process will take longer. Most of the money in the settlement has been set aside for those who were children during the early days of the crisis, though lawyers will also divide about $200 million in attorney's fees. Is Flint's tap water safe to drink? That question remains 10 years later. The answer to that is complex, says Eric Oswald. He's the director of the Drinking Water Division of the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy. Oswald says tests of Flint's tap water continue to show the presence of lead, but the levels are within federal and state standards.
Safe means different things to different people. So the definition of safe that we use is the standards that are contained in the Safe Drinking Water Act, and those are changing.
This fall, the EPA is expected to update regulations that would give most cities until the late 2030s to replace lead pipes connecting homes and businesses to city water mains. Since the water crisis, replacing lead pipes has been a priority in Flint. Since 2016, the city has replaced more than 10,000 lead service lines. But a federal judge recently found Flint in civil contempt for failing to meet a deadline to remove all of the city's lead service lines. There could be hundreds of lead pipes still underground, though the exact number is unclear. And it's not just Flint.
Everybody remembers what happened in Flint. There's hundreds of Flints all across America.
President Joe Biden highlighted Flint as he touted his infrastructure bill back in 2021. There are an estimated 9 million lead service lines in need of replacement across the U.S. Eric D. Olson is with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
The fundamental problem is that EPA's rules for lead in drinking water are so weak and the enforcement has been so poor that cities across the country have continued to have lead contamination. And frankly, there's been virtually no enforcement of those regulations, and they're just gaping holes in the rules.
Outside Greater Holy Temple Church in Flint, a forklift is shifting pallets. Cars and trucks are lined up about a mile down the road, waiting for the church's weekly drive-through food pantry. The food pantry started during the early days of Flint's water crisis for people in need of bottled water. Cases of canned water and loose water bottles are still the first thing to run out. 82-year-old Carol Harris is among those in line, as she has been every week since 2016 when she stopped using Flint water.
I don't drink it. I don't cook with it. I don't trust it. Not at all. No. They say it's okay, but I bet they're not drinking it.
Safe or not, it appears repairing Flint residents' trust in the city's tap water will likely take much longer than fixing the system itself. I'm Steve Carmody.
We need to take a break. More in just a minute.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu. 10 years after the start of the Flint water crisis, the city is still checking and replacing pipes. And residents are waiting for their share of a financial settlement. Michigan Public Morning Edition host Doug Tribou spoke with Flint's current mayor, Sheldon Neely, about what Flint is doing today in the shadow of the water crisis.
Mayor Neely, good morning.
Good morning.
When the water switch happened, you were a Flint city councilor and soon after became a state representative. When did you first become aware of the water crisis? And what are your memories of that time period when it became clear there was a widespread dangerous situation?
Before becoming a city council person, I'm a lifelong Flint resident. So the level of impact, did not only impact me as an elected leader, but also as a resident and still a current resident of this community. And so, definitely disturbing, and it was very uncomfortable going through this period of time, especially when the emergency manager came into our community and made decisions that had terrible effects on our community. And so now as we moved into the level of recovery from crisis, we're still working our way through that. And definitely I share the frustrations as all of the residents in this community be as a resident of this community.
Do you remember that a moment when you said, oh, man, this is much larger or much worse than we expected?
Absolutely. And at that time, we had a level of concern for many residents, and I commend them for championing them for this community, being champions of this community. I was a state representative. I remember back in 2015 asking then the attorney general to engage in an investigation to find out what was the problem and what was going on with the water inside the city of Flint. 3 months later, they start to look into it, and then we discovered that we had a real serious problem.
Well, you mentioned the investigation, and more than a dozen people eventually faced criminal charges over the crisis. But the state's criminal investigations fell apart in the end. No one has served jail time. How has that affected the mindset for people in Flint and their trust in government?
Yeah, it's deeply disturbing, you know, and it's not only that they not face criminal culpability for any particular actions that they've taken, but Flint residents never got a day in court through a technicality. You know, it was a one-man grand jury, I think, was the hang-up with it, and so no court proceedings ever happened. They never got an opportunity to be able to hear true evidence, and they never had an opportunity for this to be truly adjudicated.
And I just want to note that you were referring to a case against former Governor Rick Snyder and other defendants. The state Supreme Court found a one-man grand jury had been used improperly for their indictments. Several other defendants had pleaded no contest to misdemeanors and eventually had those scrubbed from their records. Back in 2019, you were a state representative, and you said in a statement, and I'm quoting, "We've been told to wait, to be patient, that justice was coming. But where is that justice today? My city is losing faith in our government." Has that sentiment changed in the 5 years since you made those remarks?
Not at all. You know, confidence was eroded because people were left out of the loop. But there are many moving parts. You know, you had the criminal portion of it, and then you also had the civil portion of it. And residents of this community are still waiting on those pieces to come to bear.
Well, let's talk about some of the work that has happened since the crisis began. The city of Flint has checked about 29,000 water lines for lead and replaced more than 10,000 of them. But the city was found in civil contempt by a federal judge for its handling of the pipe replacement program over the years. Flint has missed a number of deadlines. As of last month, there were still about 30 lines left to check. Can you give residents a timeline for when that work will be finally completed?
Yeah, you know, probably those 31 lines that still be remaining to be replaced will happen before the end of this month. Once our contractor gets engaged, they go pretty quickly and pretty fast. And so what we need is residents to be engaged enough to be able to be present so we can actually replace those lines. We had a lot of issues with people giving consent to allowing us to be able to have access. And so that has been some parts of our delays, but definitely we had obstacles after obstacles to be stacked on top of one another, even going back to the pandemic where the world shut down.
Well, you mentioned that the city needs permission to inspect and work on pipes, and there are about 1,900 properties that haven't given the city that permission. Is there anything that can be done there?
Yes. You know, as we work to secure another contract with our engineering firm, we'll be doing more outreach. We have at least made three attempts to all of those structures of the 1,900 with no response and or the people not being available to be able to allow us to replace those lead service lines. You know, we will be very systematic about the way that we go forward in trying to reach out to those last remaining households.
There are more than $650 million in settlement funds for the victims of the water crisis, and the bulk of that money, $600 million, is coming from the state. The city of Flint is putting in about $20 million into that fund, but residents haven't been paid yet. This month, the special master in charge of the claims process suggested that the initial phase of payments could be complete by the end of June. But there's still work to be done beyond June. What are you hearing about that process?
How those dollars are going to be distributed has been the question from Flint residents, and definitely we want to be able to provide more answers to them. But we are a defendant in the case. We provided $20 million into that settlement, and there's no level of compensation that's ever going to achieve the goal of being satisfactory. But definitely we've been here at the City Hall trying to support them, trying to make sure the documentation portion is satisfied so those dollars can be released. They're estimating about $40 million plus in interest to the total sum. And so if you have $653 million, a total of maybe $40 million in interest, you're looking now at, you know, maybe $690 million, and we still have one defendant out there. So it could be, more than $700 million at the end of it when these dollars are starting to be released. You know, the children will receive a lion's share of it. I think they're figured out the calculations, and maybe children will receive about 80% of those dollars. And so, you know, we have an underbanked society inside the city of Flint. We're trying to make sure that residents have the ability to absorb those dollars and place those dollars, and so we can have a level of investment in themselves moving forward. And so we're trying to do many different things, financial literacy programs that we've had initiated inside the city of Flint. We have supporting pieces that we have moving throughout this crisis, taking us from crisis to recovery.
Well, Mayor Neely, as you mentioned, you're a lifelong resident of the city of Flint, and it's been 10 years since the water switch that started this crisis. What still worries you today about the fallout from what's happened?
Rebuilding confidence is going to take a long time. And so, maybe decades after we resolve all these other issues, we still have to build back that eroded trust for families and in this community. And then also, you know, making sure that Flint can become a destination location, not only in our county, but for the state of Michigan and the world. Getting beyond that, because, you know, the world was watching what was going on inside the city of Flint with this man-made crisis, this poisoning of a community, American community. So we have a lot to overcome in that space, but we're working very hard.
Do you use and drink city tap water the way you did before the crisis, Mr. Mayor?
Not the way we used to before the water crisis, because what the world has learned and what we're seeing nationally, and even when we talk about President Biden's infrastructure repair program, and we look at lead exposure all across the country, we know better now. And so what we do, we're still providing residents with water filters, and we have multiple locations throughout the city. We provide these water filters for residents cost-free. What we know, we need to filter all water. We know no amount of lead is safe in water, even though with our environmental protection agencies, with the EPA and also EGLE in the state of Michigan, they're saying with the lead copper rule, 15 parts per billion, less than 15 parts per billion is acceptable. I will always now advocate for residents to use filtrations for the point that they're going to be consuming water, as me and my family do now. You know, Flint's water is probably the most tested, the most monitored in the state of Michigan, but we have the newest infrastructure. We will continue to increase that level of infrastructure repair, but now we're working as well to repair what the world's view may be of us, but definitely continue to rebuild confidence inside of our community.
That was Flint Mayor Sheldon Neely speaking with Michigan Public's Doug Tribou. For more coverage of the 10th anniversary of the Flint water crisis, visit michiganpublic.org. That's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganpublic.org. Today's podcast was produced by our pod editor, Rachel Ishikawa. Other producers on our show are Mike Blank, Ronia Kapansag, April Van Buren, as well as our director, Mercedes Mejia. Special thanks today to Kaylin Goss. Our intern is Olivia Meradian. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and also from Audio Network. Thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.